Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon.
You're on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montour for the workday afternoon. Today on Health Suite, we talk about headaches and migraines. We've all had them. Sometimes we wake up with one. Other times we develop one through the workday. But have you ever really thought about what causes them? And if there is something more we can do than just reaching for an over-the-counter pain remedy? We look for some answers coming up next on Money FM 89.3.
Health Suite with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suite on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. Today we do a deep dive into headaches and migraines. Joining me on the phone is Dr. Ko Kim Hui, Clinical Lead of Musculoskeletal Workgroup Sing Health Polyclinics. Doctor, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi. Hi, Clarissa.
Hi. Okay, now, headaches, as you said before we went live, they're pretty common. So let's start with defining the various kinds of headaches a person can suffer.
Okay. Well, certainly headaches are very common. I see that every day in my practice. There are many causes. Okay, of course, one of the most common cause is what I call a tension-type headache. And quite a lot of patients have this kind of pain and they experience it at one point of their life. Such headaches are usually located on both sides of their temples. They're usually described as pressing, tight sensations, usually of mild to moderate intensity, and does not come with nausea and vomiting or worsen with bright light. But on the other hand, the other common kind of headache that patients have, and they often tell us they do have it, is migraine, which tends to be more unilateral. They are moderate to severe in intensity. It sometimes comes with nausea, vomiting. It can be worsened with bright light, loud noises. Sometimes it lasts 4 hours to 3 days. And patients usually like to lie down in a more quiet environment when they have this kind of headache. Yeah. So, of course, there are many, many other kinds of headaches. And another less common but important headache is what I call a cluster headache. That's very, very uncommon and usually predominantly in male adults. They are usually, again, unilateral, but they usually present with excruciating pain. Last for a much shorter duration, like 15 minutes or up to 2-3 hours. Classically, when they do have such headaches, they can come with tearing, a little bit of running nose, flushing of the head on that side of the headache. So the three headaches that I just described are what I call primary headaches, and these are the more common type of headaches that can be defined by criteria. Yeah.
Okay, so for us lay people, we may not be able to tell the difference between a headache, a cluster headache, a tension headache, a migraine. Yep. How do we tell them apart?
Okay. So sometimes there are many, many kinds of headaches, and there are even headaches that is what I call non-specific headache, and they can come with common illnesses like upper respiratory tract infection, viral illnesses, even sometimes they are low mood, neck pain, that can come with some headaches. So the type of headache that I just described earlier also has some classical features. And given the statistics, right, we know that most patients present with one of these headaches, which is tension-like or even migraine. So using the criteria that I define, that will help the doctor to tell us which is the type that they have and which is the dangerous or the not-so-dangerous causes. For patients, sometimes, of course, hard for you to define whether it's a tension type or migraine. Although most patients, when they come to see a doctor, commonly they'll tell me that, I have migraine. But for us, we know that there are different types that the doctor can help to define and diagnose.
Okay, now that's interesting because when you were defining tension headaches, cluster headaches, you said cluster headaches are very rare, but they present more in men.
Yes.
Right?
It's a condition, in male.
So cluster headaches more with men. What about migraines or tension headaches? Is it gender specific? Do you see it present more in either women or men?
Yeah. So migraine classically is more common in females, roughly about 2 to 3 times more common in females than males. But we know that many other types of headaches, like tension type headaches, they tend to affect males and females equally.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
So some you see more in men than women, and some in men and women. And then, of course, with the tension headaches, we're all lucky, equally lucky to have them.
Yes. In a way, yes.
Okay.
So I think on the whole, we do see it's equal.
It's equal.
Equal. Yeah, on the whole. Yeah.
Equal opportunity pain. Okay. We are speaking to Dr. Ko Kim Hui, clinical lead of Musculoskeletal Work Group at Sing Health Polyclinics. Now, look, honestly, we are increasingly a nation of self-medicators, especially when it comes to headache. You know, we reach for that over-the-counter painkiller. Is that okay for us to head for a pharmacist instead of a doctor?
Okay. I'll say that short-term use of simple analgesia that's available over-the-counter in your Guardian pharmacy and so on are generally safe. Because we know that, as I said earlier, headache is such a common symptom, and most causes of headaches are actually due to benign causes. So because of that, I think the trial of simple analgesia such as paracetamol may be taken when one has headache.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is advisable to see a doctor if the pain did not improve or worsened after the cause of analgesia.
Oh, okay. So what you're saying is if you have these headaches, that's, you know, they're pretty common. But if you're taking the painkillers and they don't get better and the headaches actually get worse over time, that's time to see a doctor.
Yes.
Okay. Now, aspirin, paracetamol, ibuprofen, all of these are what we reach for as laymen to ease our headaches. Mm-hmm. Are there side effects of using any of these over time that we should know about?
Certainly. So medications such as ibuprofen or aspirin actually belong to a class of medicine called non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So this class of medicines can cause, for example, gastric pain. It can affect kidney function, increase the risk of bleeding, but especially when they are taken over prolonged period. It can even be a cause of drug allergy or even trigger asthma attacks in those with existing asthma. On a side note, excessive and prolonged use of all these painkillers can also increase the risk of developing chronic daily headaches, and thus they should be avoided. Sometimes we call this the medication overuse headaches. So I think the bottom line is you can take some of this medication, but always follow the doctor's prescription in terms of the duration and the dosage as far as possible.
Okay, so is there a period of time after which, you know, we suffer common headaches, lack of sleep, whatever the reasons, is there a period of time after which we really should just go and see a doctor?
Okay, so sometimes hard to define. There are many other factors to tell you when you should see a doctor, which I can elaborate. But if you ask for a duration, I would say that at most headaches usually resolve within a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
But then migraine usually in 3 days you should get better already. And tension headaches sometimes even up to a week. So I think 1 week is a good gauge, 5 days, 1 week. So it's still persistent. I think that's time we should head for a doctor's consult room.
Right. Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Ko Kim Hui, clinical lead, musculoskeletal work group, Sing Health Polyclinics. Now, when I was researching for this interview, I came across the suggestion from the Mayo Clinic to keep a headache diary. Can you tell us what purpose this serves and do you recommend it?
Okay. Of course, probably not for every patient with headache, because most patient headache comes with a headache of about 2-3 days.
Mm-hmm.
But we do advise patients with chronic headaches, for example, more than a month or so, to monitor their headaches with a headache diary. Right? This is because actually the frequency, the duration, and the severity of the headaches can actually help us to diagnose the type of headache and aid us and make a decision on medicine to give for the patient. And also actually tells us how much painkiller the patient is actually taking. Okay, this is useful because patients often find it difficult to recall the number of headaches they have per month, the exact number of days and so on. And they may just tell us about the most painful days and miss out some mild to moderate headache days. So the diary actually helps them to keep track of the number of days that a headache, that's useful information for us. Right? But however, as a note, to be useful, such headache diaries should be user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It should help to measure the frequency of the attack, the severity, the duration, the disability, and the response to each type of medication they're actually using. the Mayo Clinic, the headache diary is, of course, one such example.
Okay. Is it true that sometimes there's just no known cause for a headache? You just have one.
So, yes. So some patients have headache, what I call non-specific. So they don't really be able to define them to one of the particular categories, like what I described earlier, attention type headache, migraine, and so on. In fact, there was a local study back in 2003 by one of the neurologists, Dr. Cole. He found that up to 30% of patients with headache could not be classified into one of these categories. So quite common.
It's quite common, really. No reason, you just have a headache. Yeah. Too bad. Okay. Now, some of us who have been concerned about the frequency of our headaches and what have you, have gone to see the doctor, have been cleared from anything more serious. We're not, we don't have a brain tumor or something like that. It's just we get headaches. We, tension headaches, migraines. Is there something in the long term we can do? Maybe something more holistic, a change of diet or lifestyle that we can make these changes so that we can not have these headaches?
Yep. So, of course, we know that headache is a symptom and due to many causes and many factors. Yeah, medicine can, of course, help to treat and prevent headaches. But I think there are also evidence to show that lifestyle changes can help to prevent headaches. So for certain conditions, like for example migraine, we know that can be triggered by certain specific triggers. So if you can change your lifestyle to avoid these specific triggers, that will be useful. Of course, some triggers classically for migraine include like stress, lack of food, alcohol, hormonal changes in women, for example, lack of sleep, environment, sometimes the loud noises and so on. So these are the triggers that they can look out for. But however, it is actually not easy to identify these triggers specifically because there are some patients when the attacks can be linked to actually more than one trigger. And sometimes even the presence of a trigger like loud noise, it may not always trigger a migraine attack. And even I have patients who identify their triggers wrongly. One example I can think of is if you're going to get a migraine attack and then you suddenly experience a bit of cravings or some sweet things and go and eat some chocolate and then the headache comes, you might wrongly identify this chocolate as one of the trigger, which in fact migraine was already starting before you even add the chocolate in the first place. Yeah, so actually because of these, actually the best way if you want to identify triggers, again, we will go back to what we said earlier. It's good to have a detailed headache diary.
Right.
Because we do know that trigger factors can influence and attack up to even 48 hours before the headaches. So if you do keep such diaries, you can actually look at the period before each attack, and then you might even notice a pattern of having some certain triggers that are occurring at that time before your big attack came. So that will be a useful thing. Yeah. But of course, on the whole, not easy sometimes to identify all these triggers. So we will still suggest patients to adopt a well-balanced, healthy lifestyle. So for example, regular exercises, balanced diet, reduce alcohol, caffeine intake, stop smoking, adequate hydration, sleep, stress reduction in general. I think all these can all holistically help to prevent or reduce headaches from occurring.
Does age play a part, Doctor?
Sorry?
Does age play a part at all? The older we get, are we more likely to suffer from headaches and migraines?
Age? Not really. Yeah. So, in fact, migraines are classically in the younger population, like young adults and so on, rather than elderly. In fact, if you have never had a headache in your life, and suddenly, for example, after 50 years old, you start to have a onset of headache, in fact, that is a red flag. Because then it's likely due to some other more sinister causes rather than typical migraine or tension headache and so on.
Okay, that's useful to note. If you suddenly have a headache when you're in your 50s, then go see a doctor, right?
Certainly.
All right. Yeah. Now, surveys have shown that in general, working adults like us in Singapore, we're not getting enough sleep regularly. Over time, should we be concerned about this state of affairs? Will it lead to something more serious?
Okay. Very topic very close to my heart because I think I suffer from sleep deprivation all the time. Okay, but sleep deprivation, of course, can be caused by a variety of reasons. I mean, some people have insomnia, sometimes even medical conditions like sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. So, but whatever the reason, and then chronic sleep deprivation can affect your health, work performance, safety, and even the general sense of well-being. We know that lack of sleep itself can affect concentration and reaction. So there are studies to show that it has increased risk of workplace injuries, traffic accidents because of lack of sleep.
Right.
School, work performance, and so on can also be affected. I think that sleep deprivation also can put one at a higher risk of conditions such as hypertension, heart disease, stroke, even depression. I mean, I think there's some research that also found that lack of sleep can be related to increase in hunger, appetite, and thus related to obesity also.
Wow.
Yep. So
all related
quite a lot
to
things.
Sleep. Yeah, that's quite a lot of things.
Yeah. Quite a lot of things, yeah.
So sleep, try to get adequate sleep is what I'm getting from that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
We have been speaking with Dr. Ko Kim Hui, Clinical Lead of Musculoskeletal Workgroup, Sing Health Polyclinics for Health Suite. Dr. Ko, thank you very much for the time. A lot of great answers. Hopefully that helps people deal with their headaches better.
Yes. Thank you.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.